Hare Krishna. Yes,
Prabhupada. We have a question from Rupa Vilas Das.
Hare Krishna.
In the realm of Sharanagati, complete surrender to the Lord, why is it that self-forgetfulness is higher than self-surrender? Please kindly elaborate.
Gaura and self-sacrifice.
Self.
These are observations of Srila Guru Maharaj. He has this extraordinary ability to extract the inner meaning of the scriptures. Achinoti yashastartam. Told one of the hallmark true qualifications of the acharya, to extract the inner meaning of the scripture and reveal that. So, and coupled with that, Srila Guru Maharaj, by his own admission, said was meant to preach Krishna consciousness in English language. So this terminology he's extracted from the West, in a sense. And on this very point, he recalls when he was in school and being trained, taught by professors who were Christian by religion. So he remembers all of his lessons, which is kind of amazing. All the classes he had, all the things they said. And if they ever say anything interesting that catches his attention, he sees if he can find a bridge from Western thought to Eastern thought, from and not just Eastern thought, particularly Gaudiya Darshan, Mahaprabhu's conception, and Mahaprabhu's Krishna conception. So he's making, drawing a contrast between self-sacrifice and what was the other one?
Self-forgetfulness.
Self-forgetfulness or self-oblivion in that sense. So he's saying in self-sacrifice, there's some concept of self, who you are, what is your position. One may calculate the gain from sacrificing themselves. But in self-forgetfulness, or what I'm using here cautiously, this word self-oblivion, means so wholly absorbed in the other as to be utterly forgetful of one's apparent self-interest. So when Srila Guru Maharaj, he liked very much this story of Krishna's headache. Right? And where we're told Krishna's suffering from a headache in Dwaraka. And he says only feet dust of a devotee, if he will put that on his head, will he get relief? And he's telling this to Narada. I said, I'm suffering so much from the head, and I need feet dust from a devotee. That will give me relief, cure me. So then Narada runs to the queens of Dwaraka saying, Krishna's suffering so much right now. And he said, he needs the feet dust from a devotee. He'll put that on his head and get some relief. And the queens are shuddering. What? They said, that's considered the lowest thing. So we're always saying the opposite, right? We want to bow our heads at the lotus feet and the dust, be bathed in the dust of the lotus feet of the superiors. And that means we're offering the highest aspect of ourselves to their least aspect with some hope, some aspiration. And now you're saying, I should take the lowest aspect of myself and offer that to the highest aspect of the higher part. Oh, they're shuddering to that at that thought. And these queens are also very intelligent. And I think, Narada, wait, you're also a devotee. You're a great devotee. Why don't you give your feet up? And he's like, I'll get back to you. Goes back to Krishna and saying, no, the queens, they won't comply. And Krishna, oh, I'm so much suffering. Go to Braja, like I said in Bhagavad Gita, Sharanam Braja, remember, 18th chapter, Sarvadharmam Parityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Braja, Braja Sharanam. Go to Braja, to the Braja Gopis and ask them. And hurry, because I'm so much suffering. There was a painting at ISKCON Press, and Prabhupada was looking over the paintings and, you know, saying, what is this? And they go, oh, it's that. What is this one, the subject matter? And then they show this one, and Krishna's like, you know, and they go, what is this? And they go, Krishna is unhappy. And Prabhupada said, Krishna is never unhappy. He's, you know, Anandamurti, you know, Veda, what is it? Anando Brahmano, Vidvan, Anandamayo Vyasat, Sachid Ananda, Ananda Vigraha. What did we say in the prayer? You know, Ananda Leela Maya Vigrahaya. Sundar Ananda, Ananda Sundar, Krishna. And they're saying, well, we already made this painting. And Prabhupada said, oh, Krishna has a headache. That's what it can be. But, you know, someone could say, but Krishna gets headaches? Leela. This is the pastimes of Krishna. Always the pastimes of Krishna, they're, one, he is happiest when the spotlight is upon the devotion of his devotees. Right? Like the verse, Ahang Bhakta Paradino, Yasvan Tantra Iva Dvija, Sarubir Bhakta Hridayo, Bhaktair Bhakta Janapriya. And another one in that section, Sarabo Hridayam Vahyam. Yeah. What are you saying? I'm always in their hearts. That we understand, yeah, those, the great, they're always thinking of Krishna and their heart, he resides in their hearts. Pram bhakti yoga paribhavita pavita hritsaroja ase shuteksita pato nanunata pungsang. It's very beautiful. The beginning of the Bhagavatam saying, as that hritsaroja means the lotus of their hearts, like a lotus flower, a blossoming, blooming lotus flower. And he's saying, and as they conceive me, I reveal myself to them. It's interesting. Because then you say, well, isn't Krishna a particular way? And yes, he is, verifiably so. But devotees, have some also particular way that Krishna is most charming to them. And we know Rupa Goswami has made a study of that. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura. And with gradation and divisions and variation, so many variations within. And so it's mutual in this sense. As they like to see him, he is seen. Why was I saying that about heart in the hearts of the devotee? Pardon me?
Heart Saroja, like yes. A blossoming lotus.
Yes, but before that.
I'm always in their hearts. You know,
they're always in my heart. Oh, and that's the other part. But Krishna is saying, what's in the heart of Krishna? Who is he thinking about? His devotees. And then, if we're following this line of thought, then we can understand Krishna's most heartfelt or the deepest heart consideration of Krishna, Srimati Radharani. She has conquered him with her self-giving, self-sacrifice, self-forgetfulness. So Narada goes to Braja, the Braja gopis, you know, Bande Nanda, Braja, Srinam, Padarenum, Abhikshnasa, Punati Harit, Harita, Harikato Gitam, Punati Bhuvanatrayam. What is their specialty? They're always singing the glories of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, and thereby purifying all the worlds. Right. So when he comes to Braja, the gopis are very eager to get some news of Krishna. He said, he's still the absolute Ishvara Parama Krishna, but right now he's suffering from an extreme headache. And, you know, and he says that he needs feet dust of a devotee to cure that headache. And immediately they're, I don't know if I'm a devotee, take mine. Yeah. He's saying, but don't you understand the consequence of that? You know, eternal hell. He's saying, that may be, we have no self-consideration, but that Krishna will get some relief, that is our only concern. That is self-forgetfulness. They're not calculating the merits of this. They're not asking the why. Guru said, if you have to ask why, it's not devotion. Right? This has come to them. This is Krishna's necessity. They're delivering that without any consideration of the consequences. When the devotees, they're building the Madras Gaudiya Math. And we know that the system in India, unlike America particularly, in America when people are doing something, they get a loan and then pay off the loan for so many years, and they never do that. They buy the land, they make the day they open the temple, it's paid for. And then through donations, and they go on with the seva of the deities. So they never take loans. You know, like Prabhupada didn't do it, Srila Sridhar didn't do it, Srila Govinda. It's just not in their DNA to do that. You know. That said, there came a point where the construction on the Madras Gaudiya Math was stopped. So remember, they never do this. And in this instance, they took a loan to continue without the knowledge of Srila Saraswati Thakur. And so the time came where he was going to be made aware that they've done this. And you can imagine. They know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. They know what is guru, what is the order of the guru. And yet they've done this. So they're anticipating, you know, major chastisement from him and disapproval. And when they reveal to him that the way they kept the construction going was by taking a loan, he was like, oh, I'm very happy to hear that. And they're like, you are? And he said, yes, this is, you know, Braja Sharanam, like in the Bhagavad Gita, Sharanam Braja, Gopi Bhav. How? Saying, because not only, whatever resources are available to you now, you've used all of that in service, but you've also risked your entire future in service to Krishna. Right? Without any consideration of what may happen to you, you've taken that risk and you've engaged all of your future in service. So I'm very happy to hear that. Vaishnavaya Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Nabujoy. We're cautioned about thinking we know the mind of the Vaishnava or how they might respond in a particular situation or circumstance. Just as that Saraswati Thakur, who we told recently when he was asked, is, you know, Mahaprabhu says, Prithibite ache jata nagaradigram sarvatra prachar hoibe moranam. That, I, you know, my name will be chanted in every town and village in the world. So your idea is to make a temple in every town and village in the world? And he said, no, that's not my idea. What is your conception? He said, I want to establish a Krishna temple in the heart of every living being. That's my program. And when the Gaudiya Math, their flagship center, the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math in Calcutta, it was time to collect for the construction. And so Saraswati Thakur said he wanted 100,000 rupees, which now would be like, say, $10 million, really. And so the word went out, and there's this one devotee who was affectionately known, what was that? JDB Jagabandhu Prabhu. He gave 3 lakhs of rupees. So let's just say, like, he asked for $1 million, he gave 3 million, one person. And all the devotees were having, oh, Prabhupada asked for $1 million, he gave, Jagabandhu Prabhu gave 3. JBD, Jagabandhu Das. So they're sharing their elation with Srila Saraswati Thakur, and they, Prabhupada, you wanted $1 million, he gave 3 million, Jagabandhu Prabhu. No, but said that seva, then Jagabandhu Prabhu, he took all that seva. He said, what I wanted, that hasn't been met yet. He said, what I wanted is that 100,000 different people, that they would give a rupee. and thereby all of this Sukriti would be distributed to them. But Jagabandhu Prabhu took more than his share. So what I wanted, that hasn't been met yet. That's so who, when we see in the pictures, you know, he's the personification of gravitas, of Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. As Guru means heavy. Right? And I think, if you think like a picture of Guru is heavy, Srila Saraswati Thakur. But what does Guru Maharaj say in the prayers? Janakadika Batsalya Snigda Padam. But he's more affectionate than your own father. He has more love and affection in his heart than your own parents have for you. Why? Prayas, Shreyas. Because he has your ultimate benefit and welfare at heart. So, actually, all of these Vaishnavas, these great Vaishnavas, they demonstrate self-forgetfulness. They're thinking, what will please their guru? Just like Srila Prabhupada, he'll say, sometimes he would say, because sometimes he would say he only met his Guru Maharaj 10 times. Other times he'd say, I only asked him one question. And what was that question? How can I serve you? Right. So, and Srila Govinda Maharaj, Srila Gurudev is always praising Yudhamanya Prabhu, saying like, he only asked one question, do you want this or not? That's all he wants to know. You just say yes or no. There's no why necessary. Do you want this or not? That's faith of the superior servitor. So this reminds me in my own case, Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj say, Guru Maharaj, he can set different traps when you're talking with him. And like, then you fall in the trap and he realizes you've fallen in the trap that he sent. Then he lifts you out of the trap mercifully. But he said, when he would argue with some, they're going back and forth. If you see Guru Maharaj start to count, that's how he counts. And it's like, first flaw, second one, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seven. He's got them now. And then when they're done, seven, six, five. So he's counting all the wrong things, that your misconceptions. But not, he never, was never mean-spirited, mean or an ego assertion. Very mercifully adjusting, correction, adjustment, like that. And in the afternoon, in the morning, Srila Guru Maharaj is on the bed with the cushion facing Mayapur, the yogpit, and taking Krishna Nam and going on with his high thinking and different things. Then in the afternoon, he goes to the other side, the so-called plantation chair, the big arm, and that's facing the Mat deities. Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundarji. So that's where he would be in the afternoon. And at around 4 o'clock, I could see him, Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda, reading some mail, saying if there, you know, there's some news or whatever. And Guru Maharaj, Krishna Nam, Tayas Mala. But I sat before him and he said to me, he said, you are familiar with the concept of no risk, no gain? And I was kind of like, yes, you know, that's what I've done. I risked everything, but I got you, you know. Yes. And I was like very pleased with myself. And then I fell into the trap so easily. And I was looking at him. Oh. He said, you know, there is another plane, a higher plane. Because I thought, that's it, you know, risk everything and you know, for the truth, for, you know, what you will gain, you know. Doesn't it say in the Gita, yam labha chapram labham manyate nadikam tataha? When you've got this, you've got everything. But I said, you know, there's a higher plan. Are you aware of that? I thought, no. And he said, it's all risk and no gain. And I actually had to think, like, did he just say that? We went from no risk, no gain to all risk and no gain. And then he said, you know, my jaw has dropped and I'm trying to, this, I can't understand if this is necessarily a good thing. You know? And now I'm bewildered and Guru Maharaj is smiling. <You know>? He said, yes, all risk and no gain. That is Gopi Bhav. That is their position. They were willing to risk everything for Krishna for no gain whatsoever. That is, they're not calculating. It is Guru Maharaj who will say, you know, calculative devotion takes one to Vaikuntha. Right? He also said once, he said, I am a man of whom it has been said that if he was in Vaikuntha, he would be a troublemaker. In the line of Das Goswami, who Guru Maharaj liked to quote, saying, if you're too attentive to Vidhi Marg, you'll be hurled down to Vaikuntha. And Srila Janardhan Maharaj, who will be here soon, I'm thinking of him, he said once to Guru, he said, we don't have that problem, Maharaj. But as he's saying, in the higher plane, that's what, if you're too attentive, you know, I swarjigan, vidimarg, too attentive to the rules, you know, you'll be hurled down to Vaikuntha. Like, hurled down to where? Vaikuntha. Then where were you? Goloka. Vaikuntha, we're told, and different meanings, unlimited, infinite, but also Kunta means anxiety. Vaikuntha means without anxiety. And they, oh, that's, I want to be in that place. Free from stress, anxiety. Yeah. You know, blue skies. Lapis lazuli. But it occurred to me that, because Guru Maharaj said, Vaikuntha is the southern hemisphere of the spiritual world. It's another thing that comes from him, original. Southern hemisphere of the spiritual world. And I thought, well, if that is Vaikuntha, but we hear in Goloka, in Krishna's own abode, it's full of anxiety. Right? But of a different type, right? Yashoda, breastfeeding Krishna, and the milk starts boiling over on the stove. What does she do? She sets Krishna down to go to save the milk. Right? if she was calculating, she's thinking like, he's the supreme absolute truth, and all these things the Vedas say, and the scriptures, and they say all these things, which, by the way, she thinks are vicious rumors started by envious people. So what is that world? And she's, and then putting, he's crying. She's breastfeeding Krishna, and he's sitting there crying. And she goes to say, why? Because that's her, that is everything to her. And what? Who is the milk for? It's for Krishna. But Krishna's with, how? You, no calculation. That's her seva. Right. Speaking of putting dust, you know, sadhus will come. Yashoda will take the dust from their feet and put it on Krishna's head. And also, bless my child that he may, you know. So their Brajagopi, their anxiety, they're filled with anxiety. Right? Why? They say, oh, the lotus feet of Krishna, they're so soft. And then Vrindavan, there's so many in different places, pebbles, thorns, and that might prick the lotus feet of Krishna. Oh, they can't bear to think of that. Right. It's a key that's given in the foundational section of Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. This sutra, sutric like verse that's saying that it's talking about the kind of anxiety, what do you call it, apprehension, that one experiences when they fear that their beloved may be in danger. Right? Parents, I think, understand this about their children. They have to think, real or imagined. Let's just say it's imagined for the sake of this example. So just thinking that something might happen puts them in a deep state of anxiety. Right? So why is that being mentioned in a spiritual book? Right? And when the groundwork is being laid, this foundation, superstructure is going to be built upon, and you're told this very early on in this work, because it's taking us into another domain. Right? When Srila Gurudev really referencing Srila Guru Maharaj and religion of the heart, was saying how Parakiya Bhav is like all pervasive in Vrindavan. And then someone thought like, this is upasiddhantic, you know, because I was saying that Yashoda also feels this. And they said, this is opposite, only the gopis and blah, blah, blah. Now that is paramour aspect. But Yashoda, the cowherd boys, how do they, because it means the other, the sense of that one belongs to another. How is it experienced by Yashoda? When she, as I said, these vicious rumors, they're saying Krishna is not my son, that he's the son of Vasudev and Devaki. Crazy people. Just, I have this wonderful, or, and none of them are saying, and what are these, they're saying he's some kind of devata, because when all these calamities occur, somehow he comes out unscathed. Right? No, we did some pious activities in our previous lives. I was saying, when Krishna sucks the poison, the breast milk, and their pran, her life air, then she assumes her gigantic form. Right? And then, remember, Krishna's still on her breast, and then she falls on her back, and like he's cushioned. And they find him there, and he's laughing, and, you know, and they're thinking, we're so lucky that she fell backward. Because we're pious folks, you know. And Garga Rishi said something about that. And they have so many workarounds. We're supposed to be preaching in favor of Krishna's divinity, right? And if you do that very well, you'll reach a plane where that will be the last thing you'll be saying, right? Be trying to show that he's not that. Right? The cowherd boy is saying, some people say, Gopal is not like us. He's not what? He's some kind of a god or God himself. Gopal, yes, our Gopal, who always talking nonsense and playing pranks. And yes, that, impossible. That's how deeply under the influence of Yogamaya they are. How sweet, how beautiful. So Guru Maharaj is saying, Krishna likes to surround himself with ignorant people. What? I thought, doesn't it say here in the book, only the highest section of liberated souls can enter into that plane? In the end of the Upadesamrita, Rupa Goswami is saying, the Premaika, even Narada, Uddhava, they may not be able to go into these deeper regions and to the Radha Kunda, etc. You're saying Krishna likes to surround himself with ignorant people. I mean, it's Guru Maharaj's delightful sense of humor. What does he mean? Jnana Shunya Bhaktas. Right? They're, again, on the theme of self-forgetfulness. They're also forgetting who he is. His majestic aspect has been eclipsed by their love and affection and receded into the background. It is in a suppressed position. He's always that. And also, at any point, any one of them can descend in this plane and write unlimited books about the divinity of Krishna. But to always be aware of that, for him, it could be annoying. Because what is it doing? What he reveals in Charitamrita, if on account of this overt awareness, aiswarja aspect, that constrains the natural flow of love from the heart, I'm disappointed. But he reciprocates that also. He's Akhila Rasamrita Murti. But is that because he is above eater, heart consumer, Bhavagrahi Janardana. Right? So he's saying, there's something so valuable in the heart, it's premic potential. He's saying, if on account of too much awareness of my divinity, that's being constrained, for someone who is so addicted to that substance, he's disappointed. I'm using these words. And so what does he say? When to give examples. In other words, Kaviraj Goswami is saying these things. They're written there in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamritam. And we can think, well, where does this come from? Krishna is speaking in first person. And he says, when I'm playing with my friends and they say, you're not such a strong person. I bet you if we wrestle 2 out of 3, I can take you. How charming that is to Krishna. This is not the arrogance of a finite jiva denying the existence of the infinite. This is someone whose love and affection for him is so great, his majestic aspect has been eclipsed, receded into the background, suppressed, so that he can say to his beloved friend, let's fight. And Krishna, that makes him so happy. Like Guru Maharaj also gave the example. He said, like sometimes a king wants to spar. Right? Who spars with it? They just don't go out and get somebody from the street. It's one of his own men. Right? But what's better here, we know in this world, to follow that example, the king never loses. But Krishna, you know, ye prayaso jita jito piyasi taistrelokyam. Real devotion is where ajita, Krishna, is defeated by the devotee. The devotee, and it's not like Krishna lets them win. He's defeated. Can we conceive that? Rupa Goswami is asking us to conceive that. That he just doesn't let them win. They win. They're overpowered. He's overpowered by their devotion. How beautiful is that? Can we believe that? Sri Krishna Karshini, that's what we're being told. It's so powerful. So back to that verse, Ahang Bhakta Paradino Hyasvantantra Iva Dvija. Svatantra means totally independent, and announced in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, because it must be consistent throughout. Janmad yasya yatonvayad itaratas cha arteshu abhigya swarat. Same thing. But, saying in the presence of devotion, it's as if I lose my independence. I'm overwhelmed. That is the most mysterious and mysteriously wonderful thing. It's not pretend. It's real. And to what extent that... Oh, so he sent those cowherd boys. So he said, and when they defeat me, how happy I am with the losers have to carry the victors on their shoulders. And then it occurred to me, I was saying, and Vaikuntha aspect, Krishna's being carried on the shoulders of Garuda. And how happy Garuda is. Imagine feeling Krishna, the weight of Krishna on his shoulder, and he's flying, and sometimes queens of Dwaraka, and so many wonderful pastimes. But here, Krishna is saying, when I've got the devotee on my shoulders, I'm flying. I'm so happy. He's telling us very personal things in Charitamritam. And then it gets more personal and inconceivable. And he's saying, so the Vedas, they are praising me, as they should. Vedas, Puranas, everywhere, singing the glories, Anantadev, there's thousands of mouths since time immemorial singing the praise of Krishna. And so beautiful, the Uttama Shloka prayers. And he says, but, we're talking about the word bartsan, being abused, or cursed. He's saying, when my beloved Priya, Srimati Radharani, is abusing me, right? He's saying, that steals my mind away from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. Just think, there's one group saying, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and your innumerable incarnations, you are saving the fallen souls and your glories are, and they're going on and on and on, how great is Krishna? And she's chastising him and telling him how ungreat he's been behaving. And he's saying, that is so sweet to me, it steals my mind away from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. That is our Krishna. Because it is not the offensive, operatic insults of a deluded soul, but the loving anger of someone of whom there is no one who possesses more love and affection for Krishna. And this is giving excitement to Krishna, whose default position is Anandamurti. This is increasing his happiness. Right? The person who's unlimitedly happy, this increases his happiness. No small feat. Right? So, and what is her plane? The all-risk, no-gain plane. So Guru Maharaj, he said, yes, that is Gopi Bhav, that is their position. He said, but the reason you're apprehensive about this is because the reason you think it's all risk and no gain is because you only know this world. You know, we have a sleeping suspicion that the objective world is real or substantial, I should say. And that the spiritual, all this you're hearing about, the Krishna world and Krishna consciousness, that we're like, we hope so. He's saying, but, he said, the more your faith develops, and how does it develop? By hearing from the Krishna-loving people. And the ultimate Krishna-loving people, the Brajagopis. Bande nanda brajastrinam padarenum abhikshnasa. Punati hari, hari katod gitam punati bhuvanadrayam. Loudly singing the glories of Krishna, right? When they're churning butter or doing, they're just singing songs about Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, purifying the worlds. So, coming under the influence of their conception, then gradually you realize this world is barely here at best and briefly. Right? What does Shakespeare say? Out, out, brief candle, life's but a walking shadow. Subjective evolution. A poor play who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. So he's saying that you thought that was it, but as your faith will develop in the Krishna world, then you realize this world is nothing. It's a delusion. And that's everything. So what appeared to be all risk and no gain actually turned out to be all gain and no risk. And that's what I mean by saying the Guru Maharaj mercifully lifts you. You fell into the trap and there's a happy ending. So he said, it's really all gain and no, you're not risking anything. Out, out, brief candle, you're here for a short time. In the shadow world. So, how overwhelmed is Krishna by devotion that so much so that he himself wants to experience it? And coming from someone whose default position is Anandamurti, Anandamaya Vyasat, right, who's Rasaraj, that he is curious to experience Krishna Prem and of the highest type, of course, Radha Bhava Duty Subalita. I mean, all Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidjisho Vanayeva Svadhyaya Svadhyaya Yenadbhuta Madhurima Kidjisho Madhya Sokyam Chasya Marunu Bhavita Kidjisham Viti Lobhat Tad Bhavadya Sachi Garbha Sindhu Hurindu. Forgot some words. But it gives three reasons. Kavi Raju. So after saying this, in the intro, now he's coming to say something even further, that Krishna, that type of intense anxiety that is in the heart of Srimati Radharani, experiencing separation from Krishna, where separation reaches its zenith point, right? Kurukshetra and Uddhava Darshan, Brahma Gita, and these two places, he descends into this world to public service, Nam Sankirtan, the Yuga Dharma, to distribute Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to everyone, and then personally to experience the love that she alone possesses. That means Mahabhav. He wants to taste the highest type of Krishna Prem that she alone possesses. And the to taste what she is tasting. I mentioned that after Mahaprabhu Sannyas, when he goes on the way to Puri, right? Kahan Krishna Prananath, Murali Badan, Kahan Karun, Kahan Pan, Brajendra Nandan, madly searching for Krishna, the search for Sri Krishna. Takes him to Remuna and Kirchor Gopinath. And why is Mahaprabhu so eager to taste the kheer of Gopinath if, in another capacity, he is Gopinath and all the kheer was offered to him? Is it redundant? No, because Bhog is offered to Gopinath. And then Gopinath relishes the Bhog, and the outcome is prasadam. Mahaprabhu, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, enveloped in the heart and halo of Srimati Radharani, wants to taste, the way she tastes, the remnants of Krishna. That's not the same. Only devotee position can relish the prasad that touched the nectar of the lips of Krishna, that gives it its exquisite, inconceivable quality, taste. So he wants to taste what she is tasting. And feel what she's feeling. Jari gorna hoita tabiki hoita kemoni dari tam dehe Radhar mahima prema rasa simo jagata janata kai. So Basu Ghosh, who's Sudevi of the Astasakis, says, if Gauranga had not come down, the world would not know of the greatness of Srimati Radharani and the heights, the depth of her love, the heights of Krishna praying, Mahabhav Swarupini Radha Thakurani. And Kaviraj Goswami is telling us, this book, Chaitanya Charitamritam, is about that. That is what is being revealed here, and it's never been known before. And it's not been fully expressed elsewhere. So as Srila Guru said, the greatest literature to have ever seen the light of day and all time, all space, and all creations. That's Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. And that's where you can say, you know, find self-forgetfulness to the extreme. Because to be self-forgetful means to be in remembrance of whom? So wholly given over to the other is to have no consideration of oneself. Yet, not to be, and that's, it's not self-annihilation. Self-oblivion is not self-annihilation. It's just being so wholly absorbed in the other as to have no self-consideration. That means, you know, pure unconditional love to the highest magnitude. So Srila Saraswati Thakur would say, and Guru Maharaj said, about bathing in Radha Kunda. And he was talking about people who go there, and he said, plodding in the mud of misconception, thinking they're bathing in the divine waters of Radha Kunda. He said, it is not that type of water, but it is a plane of self-sacrifice, self-forgetfulness, self-giving. Right? Atma samarpanam, atma nivedanam, to the extreme. He said, we're being encouraged, bathe in those waters. Hare Krishna.